In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and your Holy Spirit upon us. Help us to be receptive to your grace and to your mercies, to look to you as our source of peace, our source of consolation and patience. Those of you who don't know, I've been in school for about 4 years now. That's why I disappear in the summer. I go to D.C. to do my schooling. It sounds exciting. I promise you it's not exciting. It's very much like a particular set of studies for the church, for the good of the church. I don't talk about it often because it doesn't really matter. But it's what it's about. The church has a bunch of rules and regulations. We call them canon law. We call them church law. And in those laws, it's about helping the rights and obligations of people of God, of priests, of bishops, of nuns, of whomever, everybody, right? Universities, building churches, closing churches, parishes, all these things, regulating the sacraments. Everything has a way of doing things the proper way, and there's a rule book for it, and I'm studying it. Anyways, long story short, one of them is penalties. There are penalties in church law, usually applying to clerics. So the heaviness of it is there are people, the only reason that any law exists in the world is because somebody broke a law. Why is murder illegal in America, in the world, in every country in the world? Right? Because people murder people, right? Why is theft illegal? Because people steal things. Right? These are things in the world that are unholy, not good, nobody should be doing, yet people do them. So throughout human history, they've been, all right, let's make a rule on this. From now on, no murdering each other. Deal? Deal. Right? That's how laws get written in the world around us. So the heaviness of it is that I'm studying this stuff. I have to study all the examples of individuals in the world, especially priests, who have done wrong in the church, throughout church history. And it's very heavy. And the temptation of it is to get bitter. The temptation of it is to get frustrated with humanity or the brokenness of the church. And even not even just like the studies, but in life as a priest, I hear confessions all the time. You know, every Thursday we have like 2 hours of confessions. Every Saturday, every Sunday, we have confessions all throughout the week. And when you hear confessions, you just hear the brokenness of humanity. The things that people have done against another human, or against God, or against both. And the temptation, if we're not careful, if we don't approach these things with the heart of Jesus, the temptation is to be like, the world is broken, everyone's sinful, everyone's terrible, let's just throw all of it out, let's just quit this whole Jesus thing. But really, with the heart of Jesus, we're called to be patient, we're called to endure, we're called to understand that humanity is broken, and yet Christ wants to come and give his mercy, yet Christ wants to come and show us his joy, yet Christ is very patient. I was praying even this week when I was talking to a friend of mine about, in the grand scheme of the world, we pray with what has happened in the past 100 years in Christianity, in the Western world, everything, from World War I, World War II, from Korea, from Vietnam, communism, the Cold War, all these things, the secularization of the world, the legalization of abortion, all these really objectively terrible things, horrible things that have brought into humanity, genocides that have happened in the world, ISIS, all these really terrible, horrible things. And when God came down and God gave a very specific apparition, gave a very specific message to a very specific nun in Poland, it wasn't a scold, it wasn't yelling, it wasn't like the world is on fire, it was show them my mercy. Show them my patience. That the mercy of God really is what we have at the heart of hearts. And I was praying with all of this, and in the gospel, you have this is the third time that Christ appears to the apostles after the resurrection. The first time is when he goes to the upper room, says, peace be with you. He says, he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. The next time is when Thomas is there, and Thomas is the doubting Thomas. He didn't believe the first time. Now this is the third time. So they're all still processing all of this. And imagine the hearts and the minds of these apostles, right? You have Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and then, you know, John's gospel is hilarious, and then two other dudes. He was too busy to name the other two guys. Doesn't matter, right? So they're going out there, and all these guys, like Peter is the one who ran away from Jesus, although he was supposed to be the defender. He denied Jesus 3 times. Thomas is the one who was so not trusting of his brothers that he didn't believe them when they told him that Christ had resurrected. And yet all of them are still together. And all of them are, they go fishing together. And then they're drawn by Jesus to share a meal. Come have breakfast. share a meal in an analogous way, and as an analogy of the Eucharist. How many of us in our lives, right, are broken? We are aware of our sinfulness. We're aware of the sinfulness of others. For me, I was praying with specifically like this scene of the gospel, where they're all around the meal with Jesus, but they're like, they forgave each other, but it's still awkward. Ever have like a really bad fight, like argument with your spouse or with your siblings or your parents or your friends, and then like a really like a throwdown, and you don't talk for like a day or two, and then like you make up, like, listen, I'm sorry, I was so upset, I'm sorry too, good. Like you're good, but it's still a little awkward. They still like have this tension, like, hey, we good? Yeah, we're good. But just still like not good, right? That's how I feel the gospel is. With all these apostles who are like gathered around together, and there's still kind of this awkwardness, right? And Thomas's heart, he's like, man, these guys still don't think I believe them. I denied them. They probably think I'm such a loser for not believing them. Peter's sitting there like, man, I'm supposed to be the leader, and I don't know why. I messed up. I abandoned them. I was just scared. I hope they're patient with me. Listen. The brokenness of humanity is the brokenness of humanity. And what does Jesus call us to do? Come and have breakfast. Come and be with Jesus. That's the beauty of it all. That the temptation of observing the brokenness of the world is to get frustrated, angry, and lose patience, thinking the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But with Jesus, we gather around. That's what we do at Mass. Right? We gather around, all of us in our brokenness. Obviously, if you have a grave sin, we should confess before receiving the Eucharist. But we're all imperfect. And I'm aware of my own sinfulness, my own brokenness. And here I am doing the same thing, gathering around the altar, receiving the Eucharist. And today was First Communion for the kids, First Communion kids. And how beautiful. They're so joyful. They're so happy today to get for them to receive the Eucharist. And now they're full members of the body of Christ. And now they'll understand fully how broken the body of Christ is. How broken humanity is. How much sin there is in the world. And yet, the message of Jesus is mercy. And yet, the message of Jesus is like, listen, you're broken. We're all broken. All of you have flaws. All of you have sin. Don't allow that to define you. What defines us is Jesus. And he says, come and have breakfast. Be with us. So we gather around this altar. As we gather for this Eucharist, pray with that. Where is your brokenness in your heart? Your own frustration with yourself? Your own frustration with relationships in your life? Your own frustration with the church or whomever? And just give it all to Jesus. Seek his mercy and be merciful and gather around this altar and receive the Eucharist. Amen.